Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Genesis, the fourth chapter, starting in verse number 1. This is not a drive-through message. You'll need silverware. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and there bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, that you touch and anoint it, allow us to glean from it and be stronger because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Ever get a bad attitude? Wow, we're in church. And only four people raised their hand. And I know every one of us get a bad attitude at one time or another, even my wife. And that's why God gave us wives and husbands, you know, to help us through those bad attitudes. Something goes wrong, and you immediately want to criticize or complain, and or you feel like, that's not fair, you know? Notice that the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, but no respect unto Cain's offering. Two came to church. God respected one and not the other. Well, we know that Cain brought the wrong offering from the cursed ground. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It really isn't the offering. But more important than that was the attitude by which he brought his offering to God. Attitude is so important. God said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Amen. And then you will notice that when God doesn't show up for his worship, what happens? He gets mad at his brother. Right. You know? Didn't well go well, so I'm mad at somebody else. You know, it's like, okay, God didn't touch me. I'm going home and kick the dog. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's human nature, you see. Some things just don't change. Killing isn't just done with a club or a knife. It can also be done with words and separation. Everything seemed to be going well between Jacob and Laban until Laban thought Jacob was taking advantage of him and taking some of the things that was his. These are my sheep, you see. More attention and the position and respect of those that were around. Why? Because God's blessing was on Jacob, and God's blessing was not on Laban, because Laban wasn't living for God like Jacob was living for God. And that kind of thing can separate people and even families, and does. Turn to Genesis 31, please. Genesis 31. starting in verse number 1, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before. Wow. The relationship is now changed because of greed. I want this. I want more attention. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto the flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Amen. And eventually he had more than he could possibly want, because he did what was right instead of taking revenge on somebody. You know, you've wronged me and I'm going to get even. You know, just do it right. Amen. And God's blessing and respect if you do well. Hallelujah. Amen. Laban's countenance had changed because he saw God's blessing Jacob more than he was blessing him, and that annoyed him. The word countenance means disposition, demeanor, or attitude, and that's what God wants to do in each of us as we come before his presence with singing and prayer. A bad attitude can turn into a good attitude in just a minute in the presence of God. Or you could find a good attitude can be changed into a bad attitude if people spend time with the wrong people. You know, your kids are fine when they leave in the morning, and then they come home in the afternoon and their attitude is bad. And my first response is, who have you been with? Church, you were fine last week, and this week you've got some problems with this, or you got problems. Who have you been spending time with? You see, your countenance is falling, your attitude has changed, because there's some things that have been spoken into you that now disturb you that you never had any kind of problems with just not too long before. Now, this is one of those messages that I take with me when I preach up, because there's never an attitude problem in this church. But I know other churches, they've got some bad attitude problems. Amen. Nothing changes demeanor or attitude like prayer does. One of the greatest things that has happened is our Saturday morning prayer, because what it does is it changes the countenance of Sunday morning service. Amen. Turn to Luke, the 9th chapter, please. Verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. The countenance, the attitude, the desire. God changes us in the presence of God. It's not just that, well, I felt the presence of God, we had a good service, song service, the word of God went forth, but it is the change our countenance or our attitude towards God and the things of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. Amen. Because we all need to be changed on a regular basis. Amen. Now, John 6 and 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. our walk with God is pretty much predicated on just one thing, our attitude, and God compensates based on the attitude that we have towards God. Amen. You can do everything right. You can read the Bible. You can worship. You can give to the poor. You can help people out. But if your attitude stinks, God cannot bless. Couldn't bless Cain. Couldn't bless Laban, you see. Our attitude will determine our altitude with God or our closeness to God, our outlook towards situations in life, and will determine our happiness, our joy, and the compensation that God gives, or our rewards, or our blessing. Amen. The word attitude means, and there are two meanings, one is a frame of mind affecting one's thoughts and behavior. You see, your mindset not only affects what you're thinking on a regular basis, but what you're doing on a regular basis. And then number two is a position similar to an bisque in ballet, where the dancer stands on one leg with the other extended backwards, and you may not want to display that in church. All right. Good attitude. That does not mean what you're supposed to do in church, okay? Now, Psalms 150 enforces, praise him with the timbrel and dance. The Hebrew word for dance means to twist or to whirl in a circle. And I've never seen anybody dance with a bad attitude. You know? I've never seen anybody get lost in God with a bad attitude. But I've seen bad attitudes do nothing. Another definition of attitude is the orientation of a spacecraft relative to its direction or motion. Now, when NASA pushes the ignition button on the Saturn rocket at Cape Kennedy, it's good that they have it pointed to the sky rather than the earth. And our attitude has to be pointed upward instead of downward, you see. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we need to have the right attitude pointing in the right direction to God. Amen. The only difference between the word attitude and altitude is a cross. The only way we can get higher in God is to submit ourselves to God. Jesus said in Luke 22 and 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So the example of Christ is his willingness to do the will of God and the flesh submitting to the Spirit. And that's the constant battle that we have. This church isn't full tonight. Is there a battle going on between the Spirit and the flesh? You know? Now, who's winning the battle? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter? First Corinthians 9 and verse number 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So he's saying, I've got nothing to glory of. I have some needs. I have some necessities, you know. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. So God is saying, if you're willing to do what I'm saying, there is always, always, always going to be a reward. The preaching of the word, you respond to it, there's a reward. If I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Well, you know, am I willing to submit to everybody? God said, if you do, there's going to be a promotion. Now, if you turn to 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter. Second Chronicles chapter 25, starting in verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father, but he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for their father, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spears and shields. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all of the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What I want you to see is the second verse, And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And imagine, you can do everything that you're supposed to do with a lousy attitude. It caught my attention. In secular biographies, the story of a man's life is told, and at the very end of the book, there is a summary of all of his accomplishments and his character. But in the Old Testament biographies, it begins by saying that the king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and the king didn't do what was right, or he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. God wants you to know right up front what the man's real character attitude is before you read on. But in Amaziah's case, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but with the wrong attitude. Could that happen to us? Amen. You know, I'm doing it. Man, Pastor, you know, back off. You don't understand. This has been a hard day for me. You don't know what my problems are. Well, God wants to bless, amen, but he can't bless if we're not willingly wanting to submit ourselves to God and God's word. He obeyed the words of God as it came from the preacher, but he had a strong desire to do something else. And when he did obey the words of God, It was with reluctance, wishing that he wouldn't have to do it at all. And this prepared him for what would follow. An eventual, complete, and open defiance of the word spoken to him through the prophet. So if we come to church and we see what, you know, you hear the word, you know it, you see it, but I don't want to do it. It's the two-year-old, the three-year-old, you know I'm not going to do it. Sit down in the back seat. I don't want you standing up, you know. Finally sits down, but in his heart he's standing up, you know, angry. Why should I have to? Here's what happened. This young king stood on the platform of his palace and watched all of his mighty army of 300,000, and King Amaziah was about to invade Edom, which is a natural enemy of Israel, which really represents our flesh, which you're always going to have battle with. And no, none of us are equipped in order to handle the flesh, but we've got a God who can help us with this, you see. But 300,000 men didn't seem to be a large enough army, so he hired 100,000 soldiers, most of them from Ephraim, who were backslidden and given over to idolatry. So they weren't living for God at all, but he felt as long as they can be fighters, it would be better than just having the 300,000 men. So he apparently did that, but it was not approved by God. And the man of God shows up and said, no, no, no. You know, you should. Well, where in the Bibles is that? You know? God will not enter into any kind of agreement with a backslider. Amen. You better be careful who you spend time with. Amen. Because when you spend time with somebody who's not sold out to God like you are, then you will reap the consequences. It's not a good decision. So then the man of God appears on the scene. Nothing can spoil a party like a prophet or a pastor. Sometimes he is named in the Old Testament, such as Elijah or Elisha or Nathan, who came to David and said, "Thou art the man." You know, we know that. But more often, he is unnamed. The title is the man of God. He appeared to Eli and pronounced judgment because he didn't keep his sons in order, didn't discipline them. He appeared to the golden calf of Jeroboam at Bethel and pronounced judgment. But here, the man of God appeared to Amaziah to rebuke him for hiring soldiers from a backslidden Israel. You know, the scary thing is we can do things without asking God because we don't really want God interfering with what we've already decided we're going to do. So many people have come to me over the years and said, I want to do this. And I said, well, have you talked to God about that? Did God give you approval? You know, because some things are life-changing if God doesn't approve them, you know? Well, you just make a decision, Pastor. No, I can't circumvent what God says. Now, when the man of God warned the king that his war would come to an end and he would be defeated in disaster if he didn't send back the 100,000 that he hired, Amaziah said, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the army of Israel? The man of God immediately answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more. What if I've invested, I've made a bad investment? What? Don't worry about it. Do what's right, and God can take care of you. Amen. You know, people lose jobs and perhaps situations in their life. But, you know, if we're constantly wanting to do what's right in the sight of God, God is able to take care of us. There have been, and I've said this over the years, there have been times where people have literally cheated me out of money, once $25,000, another $10,000. And, God has replenished that over and over. And there would be some people who could get to the place where they can't continue in life because of what has happened to them, always thinking and always grieving over it, and their attitude can change for the rest of their lives because of the woulda, coulda, shoulda. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. So reluctantly, sorry to get nothing out of his 100 talents or about $200,000, he sent the army back to their own country, and as a result, he got a great victory over Edom, or over the flesh. When you do what's right, you always get a victory over the flesh. But another problem arose. The king, in his victory, brought back with him the gods of the Edomites. Wow, those are some nice-looking things. I think I'll just bring them into our house. They're gold. I mean, why leave them here? So once you bring them in, now all of a sudden they have an effect on you. And then he set them up in Jerusalem, then bowed down before them and eventually burned incense to them. Then another man of God appeared. Man, some people's answer is just get rid of the man of God. I don't need to hear them. I talk to God myself. If they could only do evil and nothing would be said, it'd be okay. That's what's happening out there. Everybody applauds evil. But you come into a sanctuary, and we're not applauding evil. We're preaching against evil. Amen. Heaping to themselves teachers having itchy ears. If conscience could only give approval, we could enjoy our sinning business. But if the preacher isn't preaching it, you still have something within you called the conscience that says, no, that just doesn't feel right. The man of God asked the king why he set up these gods who couldn't deliver the people they fought against. I mean, why are you bringing their gods back when they couldn't be delivered by their gods? I mean, let's ask those people that are outside not living for God. Are you really happy? Are you really content? What's your future like? And the king, became very angry and dismissed the man of God, basically told him to mind his own business. Now, a short time after, the king proceeded to challenge King Joash of Israel in the battle. Amaziah, the king over Judah, was overwhelmed, and Jerusalem was taken, and Amaziah was put into prison.